we're thankful to be here this morning. We're asking, dear God, for your guidance now in the service. Lord, for you to open your word to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, you know our needs and you know how to help us. We ask, God, that you do that now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13, I want to continue where Sunday before last with the keys of the kingdom. I want to continue with that thought. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Amen. You may be seated. There are many doors in God's program in our lives. And many of them, they're locked, they're closed to us until God gives us the keys. And he gives us the keys at some point, season, a particular time or a season in our lives. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The true baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there's a key to it. Once a person comes through those doors, then they're confronted with their Christian walk. How to live in their Christian walk. Now, they confront different doors in their Christian walk. And sometimes there's separate keys to these doors. Sometimes there's multiple keys to these doors. And in order for you to gain access, each of them, there's a spiritual key that opens each one of them. And only those who hold the key, obviously, can gain access. Now, somebody could go through the door and come back and tell you what was in there, but you'd only be repeating what they said unless you went through the door and went in there yourself. Amen? In the message of Patriarch Abraham, Brother Branham says, "What did he do when he came on earth? He conquered every enemy that Satan had. He conquered everything. What did he do? He set out. He conquered sickness. There could be no sickness around him. Wherever sickness was, he conquered it. What did he do after he conquered it? He gave us the keys, saying, 'Whatsoever ye bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven.'" Amen. That's the royal seed of Abraham as promised. The Holy Ghost in us now with the keys holding to sickness. He conquered sickness. Sickness cannot stand in his presence. He said that he gave us the keys to do the same thing, conquer sickness. "Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven." Also temptation. He was tempted in every manner like as we was. What did he do? He conquered it. What did he say to us? "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." You realize that you have the key to the temptations in your individual life. Not all of us are tempted in the same way or by the same things. But God's give you the key to your particular temptation. Now, some are tempted by money, lust, lying, elements of pride. Those are temptations. And without exception, we're all tempted by some form of lust. Now, not necessarily a sexual lust, but a lust for money or a lust for power, or a lust for control, or a lust for attention. That's right. Only way you can be tempted, Satan has to move and work in your life. But you know what Christ has done for you. I know y'all kind of laughed and I said tempted by attention. There's some people, that's their whole life is just made up of getting attention. They want attention. And it shows you that it's a lust for attention is after they get it, they want more. They never get enough attention. They're always wanting more and more and more attention. And they'll do anything to get it. They don't have no set of rules that they're going to abide by in order to get their attention. They'll break rules to get the attention. They'll do anything to get attention. When Satan came to tempt Christ, he was offering him a key. Satan has keys too. There's a door of temptation you can go through, and once you've gone through it, then the Bible tells us when lust is conceived, then it bringeth forth sin. Now, Satan has keys to give, and he'll say, well, it's all right for you to do this, or your pastor's just picking on you. He's just picking at you. That's just his opinion. And then that's Satan trying to offer you a key to walk through the door of temptation and desire. Now, a key can't make you do anything. A key has no power within itself. We established that a couple of weeks ago. You've got to accept the key, and then you got to do something with it. A key in itself has no power. And where Christ was telling Peter, he'd give him the keys. You look that up in the Greek, and it's the power or authority was what he was giving him. And so the key, but a key itself has no power or authority. It has to be whatever hand wields the key, what's done with the key. I like the way Brother Jewell had put it. He said when the devil goes to deliver you a package, he says it comes UPS or FedEx to your door, and it's the devil delivering you a package of cancer or a package of some kind of sickness or a package of heartache. He said, just don't accept it. He said, many packages come and you got to sign for them. Until you sign for them, you don't get it. He said, don't sign for any of the devil sending you. In Patriarch Abraham again, he said, Christ was tempted in every manner like we was. What did he do? He conquered it. What did he say to us? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. He conquered temptation for us, broke down the gates, took the keys away from the tempter, handed it over to the believer of Abraham's seed and said, if he tempts you, resist him and he'll flee from you. Oh my, resist him. Now, in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, and resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And we said, you know, that it takes more just resisting, and it takes you first submitting yourself to God. But just to break that down, submit oneself to another's control. Submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist. That means to withstand, oppose the devil. And he will flee from you. He's going to want to run, to escape, to get away, as if he was fleeing from danger. because the word of God working in a believer is dangerous for Satan. James 1 and 14 and 15 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Now, that word drawn there means to lure. I looked it up in the Greek. It means to lure. It's giving, like as in hunting or fishing, to lure the game away. In fishing, they use fishing lures. In hunting, they'll use calls. And they'll blow on a certain call and the turkeys come out, you know, or blow on a certain call to get another game to come out. When Satan is will use something that'll coincide with our spiritual nature, that'll be so close to the call of God that it could be deceiving. Say, how's that? The devil will use scriptures. The devil will use quotes. The devil will use things that you think you have spiritual to guard against him. The devil will turn around and use them. And use them in such a way that you would that try to fool you into thinking it was God calling, and then you step out from behind the protection of the word. Scripture goes on to say, then when lust is conceived, and that word conceived there means to take, to seize and take one as a prisoner. That's something. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. To seize and make one prisoner. If you accept one of the keys of the devil that he's presenting, you accept that, friends, then go through the door, open the door that that key is to, say, temptation or whatever it is, and once you go through that door, you become a prisoner to it. That's what this is saying. When lust is conceived, when you're seized and become as a prisoner. But you got the keys to overcome, like I said, to submit, resist, and he'll flee. Now, temptation. It may be the temptation of a pretty woman or a handsome man. It could be maybe some lie that's going around the church, and it just seems so good. You just want to you want to gossip about it too. It could be. And I want you to know something. Gossiping is just as wrong as adultery. Now I say that because many times in our minds we have a tendency to grade sin. One sin's worse than another sin. And that's the way we put it in our way of thinking, but sin is sin. The Bible says in one place that stubbornness is as a sin of witchcraft. Now, like I said, don't just think of love as lust as fornication or adultery, because there's a lust people can have for money, power, and like I said earlier, for attention. Now, in Hebrews 2 and 18, it said, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. And that word secure means help. He's able to help them that are tempted. In the Hebrews chapter 2, part 3 message, Brother Branham says, for in that he himself had suffered, God could not suffer in spirit. He had to become flesh to feel the pain of sickness, to feel the temptation of lust, to feel the temptation of want, to feel the temptation of hunger, to feel the power of death, that he might take it upon himself to stand in the presence of the great spirit, Jehovah, the spirit, not the man, the spirit, to make intercession to this life. And Jesus took that in order to make intercession for us, for he knows how it feels. When you get sick, he knows how it feels. When you're tempted, he knows how it feels. I want to tell you something. That right there is something that it kept me going through my hardest, roughest times. And I would be at times where I thought I was just literally losing my mind. And I'd tell my wife, but he knows how I feel. There was times during that time that, I'll tell you what, friends, you don't know what that's like unless you've ever suffered from it, something mental. And if you haven't, then I can tell you something, you can't even guess what it's like. Because it can get so bad that you'll do things you never thought you'd do. Yeah, why? Just trying to escape from it. Trying to get some relief. But I always looked and said, well, he knows what I'm feeling. He knows what I'm going through. He knows how I feel. Look at this, where Jesus, he's talking about Jesus being tempted. This is how can I overcome? He said, look, temptation was for him. Did you know that? The Bible said he was tempted in all points, like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking. He was tempted by women. He was tempted by everything that could be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. And that had to be a literal temptation, not something that was just a concept of mind. He had to literally be tempted, otherwise he could not make intercession for you. He would not know what it feels like. When you go to him in prayer over something that you're experiencing, something you're going through in your life or a temptation, know this, he knows what you feel like. He knows what you're going through. Say, how do I pray about this? Sometimes I've had people come and talk to me and they're so embarrassed about something or other they can't hardly talk about it. Look, he already knows. Say, how do I talk to him? Just talk to him just like you would me or anybody else. Talk to him just like you would a person. Tell him, express to him just how you're feeling. He knows what it feels like. Express to him what effect it's having on you. That's right. Many people think their prayer for is, oh God, deliver me from this. Oh God, help me not to do this no more. Lord, I'm sorry I did it. Help me not do it no more. No, talk to him about it. Really get down and talk to him about it and express to him what you're feeling, and then you'll feel the presence of God come on you, and you'll realize that he knows what you're feeling, and then that will increase your faith to believe that he's able to help you over your temptation. He experienced the reality of temptation. He felt the pull within his flesh, but he took the key to overcome it. He submitted and unlocked the door. Then he went through the door and he resisted. He locked the door behind him. That's what we got to do. To escape from the temptation, take the key. Open the door. Walk through the door. Lock the door behind you. In other words, remove some element that continuously brings that temptation up before you. Is that clear? He says here, this is again in the patriarch Abraham, he says, every gate has been conquered for us. The only thing we have to do is possess it. It's already conquered. Sickness is conquered. Death is conquered. Hell is conquered. The grave is conquered. Everything is conquered. And we hold the keys by his grace. Are you afraid to stick them in the lock and say, I come in the name of Jesus Christ? He's asking the people, are you afraid to stick it in the lock and say, I come in the name of Jesus Christ? Don't be afraid. We already possess, this is possessing enemy's gates, we already possess all the gates of the enemy. It has been given to us, and we have the master key in our hand. The name of Jesus Christ shall open every gate of the enemy. Take this key, the key of the name of Jesus, and unopen every gate the enemy has you bound away from any promise. And say, I come in the name of Jesus with this key to open the gates for sickness and afflicted. For it is written in his word, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they take up serpents or would drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They'll lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's his word. Sometimes you look at it and you say, well, Brother Jerry, that just seems so simple for my problem. It seems so hard. It is simple. It's the devil that tries to get in your mind and make something complicated, or to make it to where the devil will tell you, you don't have no faith. Why, if you had faith, you'd overcome this, but you don't got it. So you know what you ought to do? Just forget about it and go on. You ain't got it. Well, don't listen to him. I like Brother Billy Paul. I heard him one time giving a testimony in that, and he said, do you know how you can tell when the devil's lying? Y'all, I know y'all heard his voice. When any time his lips are moving. I've ran into some people like that too. An ever-present water from the rock. He said, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that's yours. It's yours. You possess it. You can find the key to this law of faith that opens it to you. You see what I mean? If you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time. But your faith gets away from it, but it's still there. Do you hear what he's saying? Let me read this again. If you're a son or daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time. What's he talking about? That key of faith to open the door. He said, if you're a son, daughter of God, it never leaves you. It's with you all the time. But your faith gets away from it. But it's still there. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago, after he'd give Peter the keys to the kingdom, then Peter went out and denied him. But Peter didn't lose the keys. Though Peter made a mistake, though Peter done wrong, Jesus had gave him the keys. Once Jesus gave them to him, he didn't take them back. Because after he rose, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. I often said that just blesses me, because Peter got to a place with what he had done. He thought, well, I'm no longer one of his. I'm not one of his disciples anymore, I guess. And if he'd have just said, go tell my disciples, and they'd have went then and told people, he said, go tell my disciples. Peter said, well, y'all go tell the rest of them. He didn't really mean that for me, because I tell you, you don't know what I've done. But he added, knowing how Peter felt, he knew how Peter felt. And so he added in there, and tell Peter. And then we find Peter in the book of Acts, when the Lord tells him to go down to Cornelius' house, that Gentile, and he unlocks this gospel of Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. Y'all remember that? I told you about it. He had that vision up on the roof of all these things laid out before him to eat, fowls of the air and things of the earth, and And he said, and it said, "Rise, Peter, go and eat." And he said, "No, Lord, no unclean thing has ever touched my lips." And the Lord said, "Don't call unclean what I have cleansed." Went down there to Cornelius' house, presented them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and said, "Seeing that they have received the same Holy Ghost that we have, how could we forbid them baptism?" So he still had the keys. Your faith might get away from it, but you still got it. It's still there. Imagine Jesus in a way telling Peter, "Reach down at your side, Peter. Them keys I gave you, they're still hanging there." Oh my. I tell you, I can relate a lot to Peter. You know, with healing, it seems like some folks can possess the key of healing. They need healed, they just get healed. Other people, they'll seek after God. They'll say they're believing. They'll go get prayed for. They do everything that seems like they just can't seem to get a hold of it. Some people, they have a difficult time when they experience health problems. But then they could experience that same individual could experience other things in their life and have no trouble at all. They might have trouble with their health and have a hard time getting over it. But other things that they would go through and experience seems like they just go through it with flying colors. They got the faith for it. They possess the key for it. But now, here's the thing. Many times I can tell you this, I've seen those that have trouble with the health problems in their own life and have trouble with believing, or not really believing, but it seems like no matter how much they try to believe or what they do, it seems like that sickness won't leave them. Yet they can believe for somebody else and that person be healed. Sometimes people like that are looked down upon. And others say, "Well, you know, I don't have that problem. Well, when I get sick, boy, I don't even have to go to the doctor. God just heals me." Better be careful. Heard somebody say that one time. "God just heals me." They got cancer, and it took them. Don't get prideful about it. Raising up in pride, spiritual pride, is just as much a sin as any other pride. Some people have a great pride when it comes to healing versus medicine. "Well, I got so much faith, I don't need a doctor." Let's just see what we can read here. This is in the Great Commission. Prophet says, "Now I don't take the place of a doctor. God gave us doctors, and that we're thankful for, but I am to try to work with the doctor." Continuing for the faith, he says, "I cannot condemn doctors or hospitals or medicine. I believe they're God's gifts to us. I don't claim to take a doctor's place." Let me go back and read that again, because we went through it so quick. Sometimes people just don't get everything. "I do not condemn doctors or hospitals or medicine. I believe they are God's gifts to us." Medicine could be God's gifts to us unless God allowed science to discover it. They wouldn't know anything about it. The only thing that's ungodly about medicine is the prices they charge for it. He said, Brother Branham said, I pray for doctors that they have more success to help God's suffering children, but there is sometimes things that doctors cannot help. Then we have the right to go to Jesus and then to heal us then, and I believe that he will do it. I've had people say, well, I don't know how long it's been since I took a Tylenol. I've heard other people say, well, I never take pain pills. I never take pain pills. Well, I sure hope you never catch on fire and get burned real bad. Because you'll be wanting painkillers then, I can tell you from experience. You'll want them to hook up an IV of Demerol. You wouldn't care if they gave it to you in the form of a popsicle as long as they was giving it to you. That's the truth. You know, we have heartaches and things we go through. But is it easy? I ask you the question, is it easy to live a Christian life? Actually, it is easy, as long as you possess the key to it. There might be battles that you got to fight. There might be heartaches and headaches and everything else you've got to go through. But the thing is, look at yourself. Look at all the things you've went through. All the things you went through in the past. All the things you might be currently going through. And then look and see where you are, spiritually speaking. You're still here. None of it shook you. There's other folks, they start through the hard times, like the Bible said, some seed fell among stony ground. And it couldn't take no root. First thing it came up against, it was gone. Some seed fell among briars and thorns, and said that was the world. And it was choked out by the things of the world. But what I'm talking about is you get up in the morning time and there's never a thought in your mind about, I don't want to serve God. You know you want to serve God. You don't get up with the thought in your mind, well, I'm not saying the devil don't try to plant discouraging thoughts, but you within yourself, you're not thinking about going another way. You're thinking about serving God. Others get up and say, well, I'm struggling. I don't know. I feel these pulls of the world, and I keep hearing this voice telling me to go ahead. Might as well just go ahead and give in to it. Well, they're missing the key to a Christian life. The thing is, it's the things you let get in your way. Let me read this to you. This is in Fundamentals, Foundation for Faith. Now the thing is, since he restored man back to this place, man in the fall has lost his conscience of what Father put him here on earth to do. In other words, all the plumbing, as it was, in our brain, the outlets and the faith have been clogged up with business affairs or home life or domestic things. It's all become so clogged up with that until God can't operate through the channels that he made man for. Now, business affairs, home life, domestic things, these things are not sin within themselves. But it depends on what you do with it or what precedence you let it take in your life. Anything you let take more precedence in your life than Christ, now you're getting into sin. He's got to be first. But if you let these things begin to take priority in your life, then what happens is these channels begin to get clogged up. That's what he was saying, and as it were, like if it was plumbing. But I can tell you something. There's some spiritual Drano that will unclog them. Satan, by the laws of sin and death, makes everything that sin and death brought operate. Satan sends cancer. The man recognizes it, receives it. Satan sends heartaches. We recognize it and receive it. And what's taking place? Satan sends a key of disease, a certain symptom of a disease to an individual. And then they get to thinking, and it comes not, well, that's the way it started with mom. That's the way it started with Aunt so-and-so. Oh my, I must have it too. Don't accept that. Just because you got a symptom of something doesn't mean you got to accept it. I had back trouble for many years. I thank the Lord. Now all I have is just aches and pains. I think some of the stuff has been done in age, maybe. But I had back, very bad back trouble. Many of y'all would remember it. And I got to a place where I couldn't even bend over and tie my own shoes because my back hurt so bad. Well, I wasn't going to give in to that and say, well, I guess it's just how I have to live the rest of my life. No, I wanted to get better. I remember a couple of times I had the brothers get one on either side of me and get me up here to the pulpit and me hang on to this pulpit just to stand up because of my back. I remember because of it, that's why it's got this stool up here. Those times I couldn't stand on my legs. But I didn't accept that the rest of my life was going to be that way. I prayed, I asked God for healing. And I went to the doctor, find out what's wrong. I prayed before I go to the doctor. I went to the doctor and he went to set me up with one surgeon. And here I was praying about it. And never did get a call for an appointment for that surgeon. So I went back into my doctor, told him, hey, I ain't never heard nothing about from that surgeon, never got no appointment. He said, well, then I'll get you a different surgeon. And he got me a different surgeon. His name was Abrams. And he got me this surgeon. Well, I got in to see him right away. And I told Mina, I said, I wasn't meant to see that first one. We was praying about it, so I said it was the second one I was meant to go to in the first place. He's done surgery on my back twice, and then when he went to do it the second time, he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I can keep fixing your back for you, and he says, and you can keep paying the note on my motorboat. Or he said, we can get another surgeon to help us. He said, and take a look at your bone structure, and he said, and we can fix this problem once and for all. I said, I'll go with that one. And so he got me in to see a doctor called Dr. Mackey. And a very good doctor, and he respects that healing comes from God. He's a good doctor, good surgeon. And since them two worked on my back that second time, why, I ain't had no more trouble. I wished I'd have got done the first time what they'd done the second time. But I hadn't had any more trouble with it. No, actually, I take it back. It was three. That was the third time. I had surgery three times. That's what it was. If Satan, by his power, can take his laws and work in man, how much more God with his power make his laws work in man. If Satan can make his laws work, be sure and us recognize it, how much more ought God's children to make his laws be recognized among his people of divine healing, revelation, power, gifts, manifestations of the Spirit. The law of sin and death works in people. The law of liberty of Christ has come unto us to set us free from those things. I've said faith doesn't come by fasting. Faith doesn't come by praying. Faith doesn't come by reading a book. All that's good. Fasting, praying, reading a book. But faith comes by a settled something that's in the human heart. That tells you, just as sure as you come to this church tonight, it's real. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing of what? Hearing of the word. And he didn't stop there in the scripture. He said, and how can we hear except there be a preacher? So you're by hearing the word of God sitting here this morning, you could be receiving faith, an increase in your faith, strengthening your faith. It says here in the fundamental foundation of faith, said, in the beginning was the word, but what is the word? A word is a thought manifested, a thought spoken forth. God first, he perceived the thought and spoke it, and it became a word, and the word became material. So everything that God has spoken in his word, received in the right channel, will materialize that word for whatever promise it is behind it. Then if you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you have God, the word, in you, and you believe the word just as you believe God, because it's God and it's inseparable. Then if you have God's word in you, you have God's life in you. You have God in you, and whatever God's word speaks forth out of you, it'll have to come to pass just like it was spoke of from God. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name will I do. Did you ever realize what that means? Do you realize if we go before God in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus himself praying. That's how powerful your prayer is in the name of Jesus. Sometimes theology or church doctrines, this is in the same message, have clogged up your faith, clogged up your lines till you've been taught those things that can't be. And that puts a block in the way. Now he's talking about things that you've been taught in the past that are incorrect. And those things that are incorrect, they clog up those pathways of faith. It clogs up those channels. That's why I said before, things that if you realize that the individual you learned the things from, or that preach the things to you, if you realize that individual, where they're at, realize whether they actually even had the Holy Ghost themselves. If they didn't, then forget what they taught you. Sometimes you'll find they'll get so caught up in legalistic things, meaning, you know, like, well, now it said that in the Bible, when they went to wash feet, it said that he bound the towel around him. So our towels ain't quite big enough, so we'll sew our towels together to make them big enough where you can bind them around you before you do legalistic stuff. That don't make you no more holier. That's just an example. The doctor might say, well, I can't get well. As long as you think that, then you're not thinking God's thoughts. You can't do it. Well, I'm going to die. The doctor said I'm going to die. All regards to that doctor. That's the best of his knowledge. If he said you was going to die, humanly speaking, I believe the same thing. But by the word, I can't believe it. That's right, because he promised me whatsoever I asked the Father in his name would be granted, and I believe that's the truth. If God just clear that little channel out and run the energy out of that place, then something's going to happen. Now, we all know there's a time given for all of us. I know we all hear our hope maybe perhaps is to live to see the rapture. But everybody's got a space of time that they're given. The Bible teaches us that. And when that purpose, whatever God sent you for here, is over, then God takes you. Then it doesn't matter how or what form it comes in to take you. When it's your time, it's your time. But what he's talking about here is when it's not your time. When it's Satan just trying to take you to an early grave. You say, how do I know how to pray? I'll tell you what I do. What I've found is I pray for the healing, but I pray for it to be according to the will of God. Whatever is his will, and then I'll accept whatever his will is. Faith is a key that unlocks the door. Faith in his finished work unlocks every door to every treasure that's inside the kingdom of God. See it? Faith is the key that unlocks every promise he's made. The treasure is behind the door. They're locked up out of sight from the unbeliever. But to the believer who has faith and can take the key of faith can unlock those doors. Turn me to Romans chapter 10. I'm going to be coming to a close here. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if ye shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Before there could be light, God had to speak, let there be light. But before he spoke, let there be light, God had to have a thought. I want light. And from that thought, when it was spoke forward, then that thought, becoming word form, materialized, then light. When he said, let there be, the different places there in Genesis, during the creations, what I'm talking about. It at first was a thought, then it became a word expressed. A word spoken, then that thought became expressed and materialized. That's the same thing. That's the reason I'm bringing this out, because that's what the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Whenever you speak, and it's God expressing himself through you, then that word's going to materialize, whatever it is that was what you said. Brother Ram says this, every word in the Bible is God's thoughts laid in seed form. And if then received into a human being, spoke by the same thought that man materialized the Bible, bring the things to pass. See what I mean? How powerful could the church be? The Bible said, let this mind that was in Christ be in you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now your thoughts, if they become expression, like God said, let there be a world. Before it could be a word, it had to be a thought. So God in creation created the world by his thoughts first, then spoke it, and the thought expressed became materialized. Now if that same spirit that said, let there be light, and there was light, let there be trees, and there was trees, if that same mind that was in Christ be in you, how much more could it say, let there be no cancer, and it would be gone. Let the blind eyes be open, and it be so. It's your thought. Now, you can express it by mental conception. That won't do no good. But if it becomes a real revelation of God, then you see it before it happened and express it in word form, that the word taketh a hold and becometh material, a thought expressed. When your mind, your leading, your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, what kind of people should we be if the Holy Spirit has you so embodied, so empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion? But the Holy Spirit that has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of a church would we be? I believe it's on its road that when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves, then the love of Christ and the human heart moving in the Holy Ghost, that great wonderful church will go forth with power and deity, because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit bringing to pass the thoughts of their mind. Now, I've seen people try to express these things from just a mental conception. I've seen people try to express it, and it actually coming because of fear, not because of faith. In other words, they want to be healed so they don't have to go through a surgery because they're afraid of anesthesia. Well, then that ain't coming from an avenue of faith. They're wanting us from an avenue of fear. It ain't going to work. I've seen people say, well, I just ain't going to accept this. The doctor said diabetes has got me, or I'm going to die of this. Don't accept it. I just won't accept it. Know you not that your bodies are a temple of the Lord? You keep shoving all down that sugar stuff, and I can tell you what, you can say there and say, well, I ain't going to accept it all you want, but diabetes is going to take you. That's just coming from mental conception. Now, look, I suffer from diabetes. I know what it's like. And I've got probably more of a sweet tooth than anybody you'd ever want to meet. I've heard people say, boy, that's just too sweet for me. I don't even understand that expression. If it gets that sweet, just get a glass of milk, you know. I really like sweets. But friends, I know it ain't no good for me. And I know if I'm ever going to get over this diabetes or this diabetes not take me, I'm going to have to get over this thing of eating the wrong foods. But if I just from mental conception say, well, I'm just not going to accept that because I want to eat my sweets, it ain't going to work. That ain't coming from faith. Now, praise the Lord. We don't want to accept any of the devil's keys. We want to realize that we've got the keys of the kingdom. Amen. To everything that we need in our life, everything we need to overcome, any healing that we need, any deliverance that we need, whether it be spiritual deliverance or a natural deliverance, we possess the keys. So I don't know how to do this. Get down and talk to the Lord that way. Tell him, this is what I'm facing, Lord. I don't know what to do or how to do it. I don't know how to face this. I don't know. God, I don't even know how the electric bill is going to get paid on Monday. Just talk to him that way. He hears. And I'll tell you what, friends, he will take care of you. Say, have you ever got behind, Brother Jerry? Oh, yeah, I have. Did God answer immediately and get you out? No, not every time. Sometimes it took me getting down in a hole to realize I never wanted to be in that hole again. And it was just, I think the Lord let me learn a lesson. Sometimes the reason we keep getting in financial holes is because we don't learn. I tell young people, one of the worst things is credit. I know you got to get credit to buy a car or a house or something like that, but I'll tell you what, you got to watch them credit cards because they'll put you in a hole quicker than you can blink an eye. And then you'll be trying to figure out how am I going to dig myself out of this hole. I've been there. It ain't pleasant. Amen. But God has the key. So I need more money. God has the key. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this service you give us this morning, for the word you give us, God. I ask now, Lord, that we can take these simple things, Lord, and put them to work and manifest in our lives. I pray for your blessings on the people this morning, dear Lord. God, you know each and every need, Lord. You know the need that each of them have, dear God, in their natural life or their spiritual life. And I pray, dear God, that may, Lord, that you, Lord, would show them what keys to use, Lord. Lord, to open those doors that they may, you can, Lord, we know thou art Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord that supplieth all of our needs. Lord, that's a key. Just to believe that you are there to supply all of our needs. Lord, you'll meet them. You're the God of healing, the God that healeth all our diseases. Lord, all we have to do is just simply believe. Bless your people now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jehovah Jireh. overcome.